Good morning, everyone. My name is Jessica Schindelar, and I am a health communication specialist at the CDC, as Jay mentioned, and I have been there for 4 years. Our social media work at CDC predated me and was really started when Jay was at CDC. So we've been very active in social media and one of the kind of leaders in the federal space in using social media from a very early start. So we've got a lot of experience under our belts. And I'm going to just briefly share a couple of specific examples of how we've been using it over the past couple of years to engage with some of our priority audiences through social media. Really, our digital strategy at CDC combines both web, social media, and mobile access. What we really are trying to do is to provide our users with the content and our health information. We've got great health information. We have a wealth of content available. We're just trying to provide it to them when, where, and how they want it. So if they want to go to our website, they can do so. If they want to access the content on their mobile device, as Jay showed, you know, a lot more people are doing that these days. We have a mobile version of our website. We provide information via text message. We've just started developing some different mobile applications. And then we also have a variety of different social media properties where we're putting our content out. So YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, there's one CDC profile, and we have plans to do some more. So we're in pretty much every space that you can imagine. I wish I could talk about everything that we're doing in social media. I just don't have the time this morning. So if you're interested, I would be happy to talk more about it later and can provide some great resources that we have available. But I'm going to be focusing mainly on two of our channels, Facebook and Twitter, this morning, just for sake of time. So why is social media important to us at CDC? I think Jay touched on some of the reasons in his talk, but really we're looking to complement and strengthen our traditional health communication. Our social media activities we're not throwing out the traditional press release. We're not throwing out any of the things that we've been doing in the past. We're using our social media to strengthen what we're already doing. But we think that it's a really great way for us to increase direct user engagement with our audiences. And we've seen that it helps us to maintain and increase the trust and credibility with our stakeholders and our audiences. Social media, as you know, Jay said, really does allow us to share content in new spaces and reach different audiences. You know, pretty much everyone is on social media these days. So if we're not hitting them with our website information or our mobile information, you know, we're able to get to some different audiences on our social media properties. And then, as Jay mentioned again, listening in real time, we are really able to listen to what people are talking about and respond accordingly. Social media is a great way for us to, in an emergency or outbreak situation, to communicate rapidly and immediately. So it's a great way to get information out very, very quickly. And ultimately, what we are trying to do with our social media at CDC is to educate people worldwide about the vital work that CDC is doing to save lives and protect people. So that's really the crux of why we're doing what we're doing at CDC and social media. Our Facebook page was launched in May 2009. It actually was stood up in a day, about 2 weeks into the H1N1 outbreak. It was came out of a need that we just needed to be on Facebook. As of yesterday, I checked, we're up to 209,000 fans. So we've steadily grown over the past 3 years now. We are scaling back to post about 2 to 3 times a day. We use this main CDC channel as more of an agency-wide presence on Facebook and really use it to allow users to connect with our content and with our experts. We use a lot of different functionality. We've recently started hosting Facebook chat, so we're doing a lot of different things with our Facebook page in order to make the CDC health information that we have available there just much more engaging and make people want to, you know, do something with it. Last year, each year we kind of set a goal for ourselves for what we want to achieve with our different properties. Last year, our goal was to increase our number of fans. This year, our goal was really to increase our engagement metrics. So what you're seeing here is the first quarter of this past year, looking at we decided to focus on three main engagement metrics, which the first was reach. The second was people talking about this, which is a Facebook metric, basically on people who have done something with your content that has created a story in their newsfeed. So that's if someone likes a Facebook post, it shows up in their newsfeed for all of their fans or all of their followers to see and all of their friends. So, and then the virality is the percentage of people who, of the people that we're reaching who are creating stories. So that's just kind of a percentage down there along the right-hand side of the graph. And what I'm going to talk about in the next couple of slides is how we went about, and you see these huge spikes here in mid-February about in our virality and our reach, and we've been steadily increasing our engagement metrics over this past quarter. And I wish I had newer data to share with you. This was what I had available when I put my slides together in May. So I'm sure that we're seeing steady increases in our engagement metrics. And what we really tried to do, our strategy around increasing our engagement was to tie our content much more closely to current events, to make content more, make our content more encouraging of action. So asking people to like our statuses, asking people to share our information with their friends, and then using a lot more multimedia. So using more photos, using more videos, using different functionality there. And then we also decided that we were going to start using the polling functionality within Facebook to really get people asking them questions, you know, using quizzes, doing those Facebook chats where people can interact much more. So I'm going to share some of the results from a month-to-month basis on some of the different engagement tactics that we have used. And the first was, so all of these kind of themes throughout are tied to current events. So we've taken a more content-driven focus for each month. So the month of February was tied around Heart Health Month, which was the Awareness Month, and then March was around Nutrition Month. We're using these on observances, and then we're also using some of our metrics to look at what people want to hear about from us. So we're going into things like Radiant 6 and looking at what people are talking about to help us develop our content strategy. So the first was to encourage action, as I mentioned. These were a couple of different statuses that we posted in the month of February. February 3rd up here on the right was Wear Red Day. So the day before, we posted about it being, you know, don't forget to wear your red tomorrow. And then on that Friday, we asked people just like the status if you're wearing red today. It was one of, I think that set a record for us for the most liked status that we have ever had in the 3 years that we've been on Facebook. And then the one on the right here with the little picture was another one that we posted on Valentine's Day, and we saw that, we saw, I think, almost 4% virality on the like this status, and we like we love healthy people, like this post if you do too post. So we really have found that encouraging action creates those stories. We're asking people to like, and we're asking people to share, and we're asking people to do things which is specifically with our content to create that story so that it shows up. And by doing that, we're seeing more fans because we're reaching that friends of friends. So they see, oh, CDC's on Facebook. I didn't know that through their news feed when their friends like our status. And we're able, and that's how helping us to, in addition to increasing our engagement metrics, to still increase our fan numbers. The next thing that we were looking at doing, and this was from the month of March, and we were trying to use more pictures and more videos, and we found that using pictures and videos, and this is aligned with what we've seen coming out from Facebook, that their data says that photo posts are 2 times as likely, they have twice the engagement and reach of posts without photos. So we're trying to use photos a lot more. We see people are sharing that information more. So when they take that photo and they share it, all of that content that comes with the photo goes with it. So we're getting our content out there more, but we're using that content. It's just more interesting and more engaging. We saw increases across the board in reach and people talking about this and in the virality metrics for all of our posts through March compared to all of our posts from February when we posted our different types of photos. So this photo up at the top here, the what food group is missing from this picture was one of our highest reached, or the post with the highest reach in the history of our Facebook page. We reached 41,800 people. We're seeing that steady increase over time, but just by incorporating different multimedia into our posts. And then finally, asking questions. So using the polling functionality within Facebook, we found that this really does help to engage our increase our reach and our virality metrics. And I thought that this graphic here was really interesting. So this is ties to each of the three posts. The first one was March 14th, the second one was March 20th, so we see that spike there, and then the third one was March 27th. So we saw these huge jumps in people that are talking about this, and then more importantly, we saw the increase in our viral reach each time we posted one of these questions. So while they don't have huge numbers of organic reach, we've seen that the viral reach with questions is just outstanding. So that's definitely a plug for using that polling functionality and that question functionality within Facebook. I'm going to switch gears a little bit quickly to talk about our Twitter profile. This was actually, as Jay mentioned, I started this profile. I was the one that was tweeting on this profile when it first launched back in May. As of yesterday, we have 96,000 followers on our page, and we post a little bit more frequently here because we have the luxury of doing so. Twitter is a very rapid-moving channel so that we're able to get more content out on that. And we also do share a lot of information from our other partners and other public health agencies. So we have retweeted Text for Baby before. I believe we've retweeted some of APHA's stuff. So we do try and post additional and share content from our partners that we think that our audience would be interested in. And I thought that this was a really interesting analysis that was done via our Radian 6 media monitoring, which Jay mentioned, and it showed that over the course of the first quarter, so from January to March, so we only have 96,000 followers on our profile right now. Back in January, we had, I think, 75. So, but we were reaching 16 million people with our tweets in the month of January. We reached 24 in the month of February and close to 40 million in the month of March. Cumulatively reaching 80 million people in just 3 months with our Twitter messages. So while our follower numbers are low, people are sharing our information and it's getting out to many, many, many more people. Just a quick touch. If any of you are following any of our CDC Twitter profiles, of which I believe at last count we had 50, you will see that we do a lot of Twitter chats. And Dr. Frieden, CDC's director, hosts a monthly Twitter chat. He does actually sit there and tweet for an hour. you see, he's sitting over there. So that's people always ask me that. Is it really him tweeting? Yes, it is. He seems to really enjoy these. He comes and he sits and he answers questions for about 45 minutes. Each month we have a different focus, and then we invite a guest subject matter expert to join us on a second Twitter profile. So we usually have two Twitter profiles running. He hosts it, and then we have a guest who's also tweeting. During the hour, we receive about 30 to 60 questions. We're typically able to answer anywhere from 30 to 40, depending on how quickly we can get them out. And each month we've reached, and I should have updated this, because we actually reached close to 10 million people in our May chat on obesity, which was after I put my slides together, so I wasn't able to do that. But we really see with these Twitter chats that people are continuing the conversation after the chat, and that's the obesity chat. People kept talking about the topic using our hashtag I was looking at it a couple the evening of the chat, and people were still talking about it, and there were a couple people going back and forth with each other, arguing with each other, but, you know, that's great, and it's getting our hashtag out there. So we've seen, and this, you know, is a graphic of the different reach metric that we've seen for each month. And I think what's important here is we're seeing that when we have a broader topic area, like heart disease, tobacco, the May obesity chat, we're getting a lot more reach out of those people. You know, they're able to ask what the heart disease was around our Million Hearts campaign. So people, we talked about obesity, we talked about physical activity, we talked about smoking, we talked about a whole host of different issues related to heart disease, where cervical cancer was a very narrow focused topic. So we saw that the reach was a little bit lower. Although I will say that the CEO of Livestrong, Lance Armstrong's foundation, did retweet one of our promotional messages, so that's why we saw a little bit bigger there. So we were happy about that. We do, in order to promote these, we do reach out to a lot of non-traditional partners and ask them to help us promote the messages. So each month we identify some different partners that we can reach out to help promote this. 2 more minutes? Awesome. Well, with that note, I've got 2 minutes left, so I'm just going to touch on a few of these. I think the key to being successful in social media is being strategic and understanding, you know, the level of effort that's required for being in these different spaces. It's not, you know, I once heard someone say that being on social media is free, like a puppy is free. So yes, Facebook is free, Twitter is free, but you have to maintain them. So, you know, the care and maintenance of your Facebook and Twitter profiles do require a lot of effort. We've got, I think, two full-time staff that all they do is post on our Facebook and Twitter profiles. So it does take a lot of time. And then I think listening and responding is really the point of social media. If you show that you're listening and respond accordingly, people are going to be more interested in what you have to say. And then looking at your different metrics and adapting what you're doing, and then being patient. We've been doing this for a long time. We still are trying, you know, we're continually improving what we're doing. We're continually trying to work on what we're doing. We're continually trying to get our numbers up. I know from our leadership, they would love us to have the followership on Facebook and Twitter that Coca-Cola has, which, you know, we're not a global brand, so but, you know, it's taken us a long time just to get to 200,000 fans on Facebook. So there's a whole variety of different things that we've learned over the time. One last thing I wanted to leave you with is we love sharing what we know at CDC. We have a whole host of different resources available. Our social media toolkit is a very, very comprehensive compendium of information on all of the different social media tools. So while I only touched on two, we talk about how to produce YouTube videos and how to do a text messaging program. And there's a whole host of different information in there. We talk about developing a social media strategy in here. We've got information on developing an evaluation strategy. So this is a very, very comprehensive toolkit. And it's updated yearly so that the stats are probably about a year old now, but we're working on updating it this summer. And I actually heard we got an email from a professor at, I think it was a graduate school, who said that she uses this as required reading for her students each year. So this is a very popular and I think very comprehensive toolkit. And then we also just released in April our guide to writing for social media. So this contains a lot of tips and kind of tricks for writing for Facebook, writing for Twitter, and text messaging is included in there. There's background information on health literacy and plain language in there because that's very important for social media. So both of these resources are available on our website, cdc.gov/social media. And there's a whole host of information about all of our tools. You can find links to all of our 50 Twitter profiles on there, and I think we have 17 Facebook pages now. And then we also have a bunch of guidelines that are available for some of the different tools. These were developed for an internal audience, but I think that there's a lot of really great information in there for our external audience, talking about, you know, how we approve things and that kind of stuff. So it may not directly be applicable to you, but I think that it's a good starter kit. And then that's it. So as I mentioned, our social media website has a wealth of resources there. So I might go on time. Thank you.